Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Juvel Hub podcast. Just before we get into our show today, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Real HR, a Higginbotham company. I have known their leadership team for many years now, and I'm telling you that you will be impressed with the level of dedication that they have towards their clients. It is phenomenal. They work a lot with human resource departments in the property management space. If you have questions or needs involving employee benefits, payroll administration, employee screening, and more, they are the ones to talk to. And they are under the umbrella of their parent company, Higginbotham, which has a whole other level of services related to insurance needs and benefits. So definitely check them out, real-hr.com, and see it for yourself. A link to their site will be in the show notes. So big, big, huge Juvo, thank you for our sponsor, for being our sponsor. And without further ado, let's get into today's episode. So welcome, everyone, to episode number 9 of the Juvel Hub podcast. Today with me is Kathy Woodard from Six and Fix Heating and Cooling. So I'm really, really happy to have her with us today and to be able to share her experience. She is the multifamily director at Six and Fix Heating and Cooling, but her career spans over 25 years in the property management space, and she's been in the training end, the development, marketing, managing site teams, managing performance, and so much more. So I had the privilege of being a co-student with her at the Advanced Facilitators Training. So that's where we actually met. But we go back, I think, on social media for way, way before that, I'm pretty sure, Kathy. So welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, we have gone back a ways, John.
Yeah. It's awesome. You got to love our industry, and especially with social media, how eventually we wind up connecting in person. And look, here we are today, a couple years after AFT, and now we're doing a podcast together. That's awesome. Both of us having a bit of a career change in the last few years, but it's all fun. It's all awesome.
Yes, sir. So, yeah. It's all good though.
Yeah. So, I mean, at AFT, and just in conversations you and I have had, I mean, a lot of your education, training that you've done, whether it's been for property management people that you've worked for or on the apartment association level, has really surrounded some of the core classes that NAA provides, but also maintenance classes. Being in the industry for so long, you know, from the perspective of those who are listening to the show today, what would you say are some of the things that you've seen change in yourself as an educator? Have you seen, like, you've had to make some adjustments in how you teach? And just tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, I'm less worried about pleasing the audience and watching body language and facial expressions, and I'm more in tune with getting the message across that I'm trying to do. I throw a lot of comedy and personality and especially authenticity on any class I teach. And I go out of my way to make it fun. You know, I always want to strive to be not a boring speaker, but to really make it interesting and fun.
That's awesome. That's and what a key element to that. You know, sometimes we get so nervous and wrapped up in, okay, I'm about to be a trainer in front of people, and those nerves can really take over. Yeah, they take over.
All eyes on you. Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
So tell us about that. Like, I, both of us being in the speaking field, we both deal with nerves. So any tips that you can share, again, over the years, I mean, even today, being as experienced as you are, like, what do you do to get over that, like the jitters or the nerves before you start teaching a class to someone?
Even after all this time, as soon as I start speaking, I can feel my voice changing because it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me if I'm in a room with 300 people or 500. If you're standing in front of that big of a crowd or that small of a crowd, I always get nervous. But I have learned, I learned in our class, AFT, that I like to try to focus, if I am like super nervous, I focus on one person. And I usually have them bought in with me. And I'm like, look, if I get nervous, John, I'm going to look at you and I just want to see you smiling at me. I just want to see you smile. And that gets me through it. That gets me through the nerves.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I've tried that too. Sometimes it's always been helpful to go up and meet some of the people, especially if I'm in an audience that I've never been to before, like traveling to some of the apartment associations and speaking for them. Yeah. You know, I don't around here in the Atlanta area, like you in North Carolina. I mean, you've got your people, you know, your people, you see them often.
Yeah.
So you kind of get comfortable with them. So that's, I resonate with that because I do the same things like, okay, hey, my name is Jonathan. It's good to meet you. And, you know, have that connection. Yeah. And that makes it a lot easier. So how much,
yes, sir.
You know, I think back to AFT and preparation. So do you feel like that's a key in order to be a successful speaker overall? Like what would you say is your level of time that you put into making sure that you're well prepared?
Sir, preparation is everything. And no matter how much you prepare, something can go wrong. So preparation is absolutely everything. For this podcast, I'm making sure my dogs are in the back and that everything's all quiet and well. Yeah. And in the background, I can hear somebody is mowing their lawn. So there's nothing I can do about that except maybe pick this up and walk away somewhere, but they'll probably mow in the lawn on the other side of the house too.
Right. That's good. Yeah. The more, again, another thing I resonate with, because at least if you know your material well, things will happen. Technical things can happen. Mm-hmm. And especially now, since we're doing a lot more training via like a virtual conference versus in person, it's amazing how many more distractions that we have. You know, both of us have dogs and they've, you know, I know. Yeah. Mine's jumped in out of my meetings a few times. it's awesome. It's awesome. Uh-huh. All right. So let's pivot for a minute. So you recently had a career change. You were on the management side for many, many years. And now you're on the partner side as an educator and the multifamily director at Six and Fix Heating and Cooling. So was there anything that changed? Like, would you say there was a learning curve? Any comments on what that transition was like being on the owner management side and now on the partner side as an educator?
Oh my, yes. It's been wonderful. It was a wonderful transition. I had my CFC license, my CFC certification that I did with several, you know, maintenance guys that back when I was on the operation sides for property management. So that helped me that I had great knowledge for, you know, HVAC. And, you know, working with Six and Fix and Cooling has given me a freedom to make a living and give great excellent customer service to our multifamily clients. But it's also permitted me to continue my education goals and career goals and within the multifamily industry. And I credit a lot of that to time management being the key.
Yeah.
I love my local association. Our board of directors is absolutely fabulous, and they're amazing to work with. And this is a small family-owned company, and that has its benefits and privileges in itself. I really enjoyed the transition. It was a little bit of a curve as an educator trying to, you know, balance, because everything comes down to balance. And like you said earlier, preparation and making sure you're covering everything you're supposed to cover. But what I really enjoyed the most is that I've been permitted to attend Advocate and continue with my committees and assist within the associations and AANC and NAA.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. That's amazing. You know, it's a good testimony for everyone who's listening on the podcast today. It's like, don't let career changes influence what your overall big picture goals are. They can actually serve you. I know they've served me well, and it sounds like they've served you well. Like, no matter where we go, when we have that vision of where we want to be as educators, it really is that light, so to speak, I guess, right in front of us that, okay, this is going to just teach me a little bit different, you know, maybe how I do this or do
yeah.
And
I got to blend them, Jonathan. I got to blend them. Like I said, I got my CFC along with my husband and a bunch of other industry maintenance, you know, gurus in 2013.
Right.
It just seemed a very natural transition over into becoming the multifamily director for Six and Fix Heating and Cooling. So I feel very blessed. I feel very blessed that I can do something that I love to do, and I still get to socialize with all these same wonderful people that I worked with for, you know, 25 years in the same area.
Right, right. And I can only imagine just the perspective. It's like, as educators, every time we step into a different perspective, don't you agree? It just kind of like adds to your, I'm trying to think of the word. It just adds to your understanding of your audience in just a unique and maybe a different way. Would you agree with that?
Oh my gosh, yes. I've always had a natural comfort working with maintenance guys. I always respected their position, and I held the service that they provide, you know, above all others. Mm-hmm. Very respectful of them. I listen to them and their struggles. And one of my favorite Power Hour topics is actually called maintenance versus office. And it elaborates on the differences between those two jobs, but they also have to work together within multifamily. And it was a really natural progression for the maintenance side of it. But you're right, it has definitely made me better.
Beautiful, beautiful. So let's just talk about maintenance training on its own. Let's just focus on that as a subject for a minute. Now, often when you think of maintenance training, and some have that perspective too. So it's not necessarily like many would classify it as, okay, it's a huge fun topic, but really maintenance training is very, it can be clinical, it can be rudimentary, it can be procedure oriented, it can be very safety oriented. Yes. And that's really the bucket sometimes maintenance training can be put in. So what have you done? You know, you kind of described earlier the way that you approach things as a fun, you're trying to make it exciting and get the audience engaged. So in relation to maintenance training, what have been some of your tactics or approach when you're teaching these types of classes to really get the audience involved?
Oh my gosh. I have little clappers, and everybody, if I'm in a small group setting and I'm doing, for example, that office versus maintenance, everybody gets a clapper. I give out little gifts whenever somebody answers or comes forward. Sometimes those are tough questions, or not everybody wants to, you know, comment or put themselves out there. So I give little gifts away, a lot of jokes, a lot of fun, and a lot of laughter, but sometimes it still gets very serious. Mm-hmm. A lot of times teaching maintenance is all technical and a lot of book learning, but some of the classes I like to do are more about how we can all get along better and appreciate each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. So you said something a moment, like the textbook approach. Now, I'll just kind of share with you, I hated textbooks when I was in school. I still hate them. Like, to have to sit down and read, especially on a subject like that, where it's just, okay, yeah. Like, man, it can be mind-numbing having to read through that kind of a documentation and try and retain it all. Yeah. So anything that you've done from a retention level, I guess, would be a logical question. Yeah, making it fun and making sure everybody's involved. But when you get to some of those more, okay, we need to capture what the requirements are, anything that you can share that you've helped to make sure that your students retain the information?
Well, book learning is totally different than actually doing the job. Right. I'm an example queen. I'll use an example. I took that CFC class, and it was the hardest test I've ever taken in my life. It's harder than CAM. It's harder than CAPS. It was difficult. But for maintenance gurus, it's not. They're doing it every day. They're used to doing it. They have great passion for what they're doing. And so when I am involved in teaching something that's maintenance related, I remember that. Like, if you're in a classroom setting with a bunch of office people, it's a totally different, like, they're really passionate about, you know, administrative office, legal, mm-hmm. all of that. Maintenance guys, they are always really passionate about what they're doing, and they're usually very good at it.
Right.
And I think you're only really good at something, unless you really enjoy it, love it.
Right, right. That's awesome. I like that. I like that connection. And I'll tell you why that sticks with me, Kathy. It's connecting critical information with real world application. That's the two items. And if they can't see that, and even if it is something new, even if they are experienced, maybe it's a new requirement or just a new approach, whatever the case may be, it's still, if they can visualize it in the field, so to speak, then that definitely helps it stick. So that's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, some people are really good at memorizing or book learning. And I mean, you can pass a test, but the word you use here as your example is retention. Mm-hmm. But if you don't understand it, you will not retain it. And that's the bottom line. At the end of the day, everybody's got to understand what's being taught.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big hat tip to our associations and other housing affiliates that really work hard to have these classes available. And having instructors like you that are available to teach the next generation that's coming in. It's not only the experienced professionals, but we know there's a shortage of talent that, you know, incoming. We need more people coming into our industry, and particularly on the maintenance level, we do need more. So your ability as an educator to help that next generation is just fantastic. So, man, amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's golden. It's golden, you know, because we said, you know, for those listening on the show, it's not just our responsibility, but anybody who's listening today, it's all of our responsibility as educators and as learners to know what impact that we can have, no matter if we're a student listening to this show, or if they're like you, 20 something years in the industry as an educator. There's a lot that we can continue to do to improve and really benefit our industry. So this leads me to one of my favorite questions on the show. I always love this because it's such an amazing feedback that I get from each educator I've talked to. What one actionable tip could you share that has served you well as an educator? What would you say to that?
I know, only one?
Maybe two.
Continuing education. As an educator, make sure that you are staying abreast of all the changes that are happening so that you're giving the right information. And because if you're not, you're giving old information. So no one can take knowledge away from you. Make sure that you're getting it too. And I associate so often with mentors and peers like you, John, like Suzanne Pratt, mm-hmm. The director of education at the Triangle Apartment Association.
Right.
I'm very close to Stephanie Anderson at NAA. Terry Ragland's a huge educator. Rich George, I call him. I love Jackie Romstad. I mean, there are industry gurus that have helped me in my career and answered education questions.
Right.
So, I mean, recognizing your strengths and weaknesses. Look at me keep going, John. Look at me keep going. This is not one.
That's good.
I truly acknowledge the importance of seeking out help myself when I need advice or when I don't understand something.
Right.
And collaborating with your local apartment association, with the AAFC and the NAA, and with friends like you and John's sons, it only makes us better to share our knowledge and skills. So, some of the courses I teach are difficult and not everyone passes them. So I do a lot of game changer sessions and I give one-on-one assistance free of charge to anyone that needs help passing those tests.
Right.
And give them a little boost.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. I love, so two things. That's what I, in summary, continue education, surround yourself with people with like passion. It'll only help us grow.
Yeah.
You mentioned some great names. We need to get them on the show. Johnson, I haven't talked to him since we were at AFT together. So, and a few other names would be great to have their thoughts. So great tips. And I agree with you 100%. It's we never stop learning. We never stop learning from a book sense. We never stop learning from what we surround ourselves with. So fantastic tips. I appreciate that, Kathy. So just for our listeners too, how can people connect with you in any way that you prefer?
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, it depends on what you're connected with me for. If you're looking for, if you're in North Carolina, South Carolina, and you need someone to help with disinfecting and protecting, because this COVID thing has gotten pretty bad. Yeah. And my company has a solution for that. If you need help with that, you can reach out to Six and Fix. If you're local here in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, we can help you fix your air conditioner, heater. We do installation and repair. If you're looking for someone on an educational side, because you're struggling with those classes that we talked about earlier, you can reach me at www.mrsgamechanger.fun mm-hmm. or email me or call me. And my email is mrsgamechanger@outlook.com. And you're welcome to have my cell phone number too, 919-349-6355.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Yep.
And on LinkedIn too. We're there on LinkedIn, people. Don't forget that.
LinkedIn, oh my gosh, and Facebook. I'm huge for social media. Yeah. Instagram, you can find me anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're big on social. So that's you know, that's where I see you most of the time over on LinkedIn and some Facebook posts and stuff. So we'll definitely put all those in the show notes. So that's great. So MrsGameChanger.fun. I think that's the first person I've ever come across that has a .fun. You heard that right, ladies and gentlemen. A .fun.
MrsGameChanger.fun.
So that's great. And the other ways people can connect with you with your company website and LinkedIn, I'll make sure I put those in the show notes as well. So great takeaways from a maintenance perspective and how we can really continue to grow no matter what our genre of education is. It really, there's a lot that we can do to support our industry. So Kathy, I want to give you a huge, huge thank you for being available and being on our show today, episode number 9. We look forward to having you on future episodes.
Thank you so much, John. I really enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Yeah. So again, everyone, thank you for being here. Take a moment and give the podcast a review if you can. If you can subscribe to it, that would be awesome too. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and a few others. You can check us out on juvohub.com. be able to see more information about that. And again, a big thank you to our sponsors, Real HR, a Higginbotham company. This brings us to the conclusion of episode number 9 of the Juvohub podcast. We'll see you on our next show.